now when I go to the River Jordan just to bathe my weary soul. And if I could touch the...
Our first scripture this morning comes from Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. You can follow on to the big screen. In the Pew Bible, it starts on page 597. And then the big print Bible, which I have to use, starts at 635. Hear these words. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lofty, and in the hem of his robe filled the temple. Seraphims were in attendance above him. Each had six wings. With two they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." The pivots of the threshold shook at the voice of those who called, and the house filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, I am lost, for I am among the man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of the hosts." Then one of the seraphims flew to me, holding a live coal that had been taken from the altar with a pair of thongs. The seraphim touched my mouth with it and said, "Now that this has touched your lips, your guilt has departed and your sin is blotted out." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send and whom will go for us?" And I said, "Here I am, send me." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Is the gospel according to John. And in John's gospel, he tells us about a time that he spent with Nicodemus. If we hear the gospel, we need to listen carefully and to respect it. If you are comfortable standing, I invite you to do so. There was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can you enter a second time into the womb of your mother and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" And Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I had told you about earthly things and you did not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, happy Memorial Day. This is not on the official church liturgical calendar, but it's on the national secular religious liturgical calendar. That's a bit of a pun, but never mind. Memorial Day is many things to many people. For some, it's the symbol of the beginning of summer. It is, and I guess now that Danica Patrick is a driver in the Indianapolis 500, we don't say, gentlemen, start your engines. We say, drivers, start your engines. Is that correct? Have we got that? Yes. Ladies, start your engines? Oh, is that how they're phrasing it? Gentlemen and ladies, start your engines. I'll just leave that to them. I have to tell you, on all the years that I have celebrated our country and been in the midst of our country, I am praying harder for our country than I have ever prayed. And perhaps that's because we're in the midst of growth. I pray that is the case, but I have concerns. So we gather for our Memorial Day, and we want to recognize it and differentiate it slightly from Veterans Day. Have you ever thought about the difference between Veterans Day and Memorial Day? Veterans Day celebrates all who have served, living and dead. Memorial Day is in honor of those who have died in service to their country. When President Woodrow Wilson proclaimed Veterans Day, though, he said it was to show sympathy with peace and justice in the Council of Nations. What an intriguing statement to talk about what that holiday is about. I am hoping that someday in the future we will celebrate Memorial Day more like the 4th of July. You see, when I celebrate the 4th of July, I remember way back when, a couple of hundred years ago, when these people named John Adams and Thomas Jefferson and Benjamin Franklin, they argued in an uncooled room over a Declaration of Independence. And they argued and bickered and they made deals and they sweated until they came out and began with something important. But it's far in our history. It's a history that we stand upon and we are proud of and thankful for. And I pray that someday our Memorial Day will be remembering long ago when there were wars. When peace is the time and peace is the order of the day. When we are not receiving our young men and women back maimed, injured of body and spirit. When we are not pausing to bury our wounded dead. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm a patriotic person. I love the patriotic hymns. I love this country. I love this country more than any other. I've thought about that. Have you ever paused and thought, is there a better country than the United States of America? I've kind of flexed my way through that and thought about other nations and some of the attributes of those nations and some that seem to have some bits and pieces of promise, and I'm just not enough of a Brit to go to UK. France is not in there. Canada is okay, but I can't speak French Canadian and wouldn't. So there is no better nation, and I continue to affirm that. But I think that we need to remember we are moving on to perfection, but we have not gotten there yet. I am proud of one particular lady. This lady is an awesome, important, and has never faltered in her message. This lady stands on a pedestal in the bay in New York, and she has a plaque that says, "Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free. The wretched refuse of your teeming shore. Send these, the homeless, tempest-tossed, to me, I lift my lamp beside the golden door." Lady Liberty in the bay. I've never gotten to be in the Statue of Liberty when I was very little. We took a tour there, and I remember that for some reason they were repairing something and the boat went by her, but we couldn't dock at, what's the name of the island? Ellis Island. Thank you very much. I knew that somewhere back here. This is Peace with Justice Sunday besides all else. Interesting juxtaposition of Memorial Day weekend, Peace with Justice Sunday, and appropriate in all ways. And you read in your insert about Bob, the pastor in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, working with refugees. What a fascinating ministry that must be. And a specialized one and one that might be gratifying, but would certainly be challenging, would it not? I think about refugees, and in this day and age right now, we see so many fleeing from war and violence, drug wars and drug violence, and not the fault of their neighboring, of their home countries, but fueled by other nations. And we see people fleeing poverty and starvation and oppression. I have to tell you, I am compassion fatigued. I see so many coming in. There are so many, and there are nations flooded with these refugees to the point that they want it to stop. And I understand. I understand, but for it to stop, we need to back up and realize the causes for those authentic refugees is usually the lack of peace, the lack of justice. There are many reasons, but peace and compassion through Christ are the answers to that. And God bless America as we continue to be about remembering that and remembering that God blesses us in our hospitality. That central rule of the Old Testament, the New Testament is hospitality, and it is who we're called to be and what we're called to be about. Mark did a great job with the Isaiah passage. Read it cold, but he's probably read that before. How many of you have heard that passage before? Isaiah, and they're in the temple, and the seraph. What about those seraphs? Is it a seraph or a seraph? I would take a vote, but I don't think we need to split ourselves any more than we have. This critter that starts with an S, this angelic being, and there's a huge mythology around the different angelic beings, but this particular one has six wings. For fun, go to your computer and Google seraph or seraph and do an image search for this thing. Here's this six-winged creature. With two wings, it covers its eyes. With two wings, it covers its feet. That actually means it covers its nakedness. It's a euphemism for saying this critter is naked, so it uses these as clothing. And with the other two, it flies. Picture that in your mind, and then see if you can picture the artists that have tried to draw these things. It's kind of interesting and kind of hard to draw. A lot of those visions were like that. How do you have all of this happening? But here is this awesome creature. And there's thunder, and the earth is shaking so much, the pivots are shaking, and there's smoke everywhere. It would be scary. And it is scary. And Isaiah is terrified. He's absolutely terrified because he is in the presence of God, whose hem fills the temple. I've read that passage many, many times. Heard about it, exegized it, played with it, and done many things with it. And that passage only hit me this week when I was studying the scripture. His hem fills the temple. Now, I've seen some knitters that could certainly knit enough to fill a whole house and nothing flat. They just knit and knit, and the scarves get longer and longer, and they're wonderful, abundant knitters. And is that what they're talking about? Is this so much that it's full? It's no. It's a symbol of the fact that God's presence is everywhere in that temple. Every corner is filled with God's presence. And I thought about that. I thought, wow, that's pretty impressive. But then I got to think, and I thought, is there any place that God is not? Is there anywhere that our omnipresent, omnipotent, wonderful God is not? So God's hymn fills everything. And Isaiah, in a vision, is rightly terrified. And he cries out, "Woe is me, I am lost. For I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips." I know exactly how he feels. As your pastor, I try and walk the straight and narrow course. As your pastor, I work at it diligently. As your pastor and a human being with feet of clay, I fail sometimes. And my lips are unclean. God forgive me. I know none of you are like that. But you need to know and pray for me that I am a person of unclean lips. And I fear that we do have a nation of unclean lips. Woe to us all. Woe is us. And yet here in the midst of that, knowing that he's being called to speak for God and that he is not perfect, he says, how can this be? And the angelic being takes a hot live coal with a pair of tongs. He plucks it out of the fire and he brings it and symbolically touches Isaiah's lips and cleanses them, purifies them. And from those, he can speak for God. Out of his impure humanness, he is purified to speak God's word. I am ready for that cleansing, are you? And yet, as Christians, we have received that cleansing through the redemption of Jesus Christ. We don't acknowledge it, perhaps. We need to back up and do a symbolic cleansing to remember that we have been cleansed by Christ. And that we can speak to the world in Christ's name. God bless America. God bless America. God bless this world. And in this awesome world, I kind of pause. I've come to the age now that I kind of want to do a backup and say, how are we doing? Do an assessment. How is our nation doing? How is the world doing? Are we making progress or are we slipping back? Are we better than we were or have we lost ground? What's our status? I am a hopeless optimist. And I believe we're making good progress. There was a day when people would come west and from train windows they would take rifles and shoot buffalo on the plane for fun. There were so many of them they didn't even care and they would just shoot them and leave them laying on the plane. It was just good sport to kill these magnificent beasts. We don't permit that sort of thing anymore. Amen. There was a time and an age, and I hate to tell you gals, that you were owned property. You were chattel, and you certainly couldn't vote because you weren't smart enough. I'm just telling you like what they said back then. Don't blame the messenger. We have made progress. We are not that people anymore, but that journey is not over either. The Me Too movement is reassuring us and reminding us that we still have work to do there. There is still an inequality and abuse of people and power. And a struggle over that sexuality and dominance. So we have some work to do. But we're gaining. And the very fact that we've recognized it and begun to address that movement is a sign to me that we're moving ahead and not back. Benjamin Franklin, Thomas Jefferson, John Adams, all of those who gathered in the Continental Congress several hundred years ago and they started to write the Declaration of Independence. And Jefferson was writing it, and he at first included a comment that there would be no slavery in the new nation. Well, as soon as he had the first draft and that was included, everyone said, we're never going to get a unanimous approval of this statement. It's not possible. There is too much division over that issue of slavery. And so it was withdrawn from that original declaration at that point in time. They fought a war over it instead, the most deadly war in our history. An awful time. And we had a president that finally stood up and said, this has to stop. And we had people fighting to stop that evil. So we've made some progress, but that journey is not over either. We're gaining, and we've had wonderful speakers. Dr. King has been in the midst of that change, carrying on what Lincoln began. So we have made great gains, but we aren't done there either. And the fact that it comes up and now we need to face it and grow some more tells me that this nation continues to get better and better. Am I a hopeless optimist? I hope so. But I believe in this country. And I believe we can do it. If we don't get forgetful and begin to think that we are the best and anybody that criticizes or asks us to work at it is against us. Calling us to account and admitting our humanness is growth and is more patriotic than anything we can do. May this be a nation that is hymn-filled. I hope our church is hymn-filled, that God is everywhere here, and God is everywhere in our lives, and God is everywhere in our nation, founded under God. I love the speech with Jesus and Nicodemus. First appointment I had, I was a student pastor, served the church in Hillsdale, Wyoming. The lay leader's name was Wayne Nicodemus. And as he introduced himself to me, he says, "My name's Wayne Nicodemus." And he looked at me. And I said, "Nicodemus," I said, "that name is kind of familiar." And he leaned back and he grinned. And he said, "You know, when I introduce myself to people," he said, "they either say, 'That's a strange name.' And I know that there's somebody that has not yet had time and experienced the Bible. Or they say, 'That name is familiar to me.' And I know that they're people on their journey." Wayne Nicodemus was a fascinating old farmer, rancher on the Wyoming plains. And he could preach a sermon. But he could only cook one about every 3 months. He says, "I got one cooking, but it's not done yet, so I'm not ready. Don't get sick yet." So here's Jesus gathered with this teacher of the Jews, this Nicodemus. And he uses this language, and we learned about this last week. Do you remember the word for spirit and breath and wind is all the same word? Do you remember the word? Pneuma. P-N-E-U-M-A. Pneuma. Pneuma. Did you hear that word used repeatedly in the text this morning? It's translated all the different ways that it can be translated. But listen again. "Do not be astonished what I say," Jesus says. "All of you must be born anew. The Spirit blows where it chooses, and you must hear the sound of it. But you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." May we be born of the Spirit. As you gather for your Memorial Day gatheration, whatever type of libation you might partake of on that day, it's just water this time. Whatever wonderful delectable things you grill and make and cook, whatever people you gather with, before you celebrate, pause and ask God's blessing upon this nation. God bless our nation. God bless our nation to continue to grow, to work at those places that we're not done with. God bless our nation to become better and better. God bless our nation to be pure, to be about righteousness, to be about justice. That's the nation we seek under God. And may God bless us. Amen.